Portland, what's going on? This is City Talk. You are here with Marcus and Mac from Portland Gear, bringing you another podcast here, chatting with cool and different people around town.
We got one cool guy in with us right now.
He thinks he's a cool guy, but we think he's kind of cool, too.
He's woolly cool.
Yeah. Have you used that one before?
Oh, yeah. It's right on our door.
Oh, darn it.
Oh, yeah. That's where I've seen that.
Yeah. We make wallets. It's woolly cool.
So we have... just the creator of
one of the founders,
but we're missing one of the other, so we're missing Jake. We have Jeff with us with Woolly Wallets, and
how would you guys describe you personally as different?
We are different in two major ways. One, we make our products different than most.
No, you
companies.
And Jake.
Oh. Oh, between each other?
Yeah.
We're different in like 10 ways. Yeah. We're also the same in 10. We're complementing each other. We come from the same background. We're both product designers. Met at University of Oregon's product design program. And we're buddies. We're roommates for a few years. And we're different, though, in that we kind of bring different skills to the company. Jake's more of a hands-on maker. He's kind of the brains behind all the designs and manages production. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of more dealing with everything else that makes a business kind of go. And a lot of that lately has been marketing, which is not normally my forte, but has become less and less of a thing that I hate doing as I start to see some results.
Wait, you hate it less or you still hate it?
I hate it less.
Got it.
Yeah.
As you put the time
into it. I'm
starting
to like it. I'm starting to like it. It's growing on me.
Turns into sales.
Definitely the hardest thing I would say for a small business is marketing, getting people to know about your brand. Mm-hmm. Why don't we give a little background?
Yeah, I'll explain it real quick and then you explain it. So I'm sitting here with my Woolly Wallet. So like you guys said, you were product designers. These are laser cut and hand sewn. Just really amazing pieces, different than all the other leather goods and apparel brands around town. You guys just have a different... detail to them. Explain kind of how we got to this wallet here, which I'll link on the website. But
yeah, it started by Jake and I deciding we wanted to start something, some sort of product company. So we bought a laser cutter, a tool that we're familiar with. We used the laser cutter for various studio projects in our studio work in school. And we knew that we could create something on our own without relying on, you know, outsourcing manufacturing or production if we used a tool like this. So we chipped in, split it 50-50. We put the thing in our basement and we went to work making different things.
I remember you guys having that in your basement.
Yeah.
It was like, it took up a lot of space, but it also just like kind of had the smell to it. There was no like ventilation at first. And then you guys realized, oh wow, we probably shouldn't be like just down here in this dungy basement. With the laser running 24/7, and then you guys got some ventilation. Now it's like smooth operation.
Now we know what we're doing. Yeah. Fast forward 5 years, and
absolutely
that was not 5 years ago.
I had it. No,
you're right.
Three.
2015. No. You're right.
3 years.
Feels like 5 years. 2015 is when we bought it. 2017 is when we launched Woolly officially.
Yes.
So we're almost 2 years old as a business, but we were in our basement, and just kind of pulled out a wallet that we weren't so happy about, and felt like, man, why can't you get a a handmade, really well-crafted wallet that looks modern. Normally, they're bulky thread, they're thick leather, they look like very heritage, they're made with tools passed down from people's grandparents, and there's an awesome story to that, but it's just not, practical for the modern consumer who wants something thin, minimal, clean, and we just kind of had that vision of a wallet stuck in our head. But it wasn't going to be made overseas. It was going to be made in our basement, and we figured out a way to make that work.
Yeah, literally everything is handmade here in Portland, and you guys have your office space right over by Montgomery Park, right?
That's right. Yeah, we're in Northwest Industrial neighborhood.
Really cool space.
It's an awesome little maker space. It's just 400 square feet. It's all we need for what we're doing right now, at least. We do all the laser cutting there, and... we then have trained sewers that are local, people that need some extra income, that have some sewing experience. They come by, pick up cut parts, and they take them home, and they hand stitch them. They come back, get paid per piece when they drop them off, and then we do a series of steps to hand finish them before we package them up and call them good. So a lot of the production effort is done outside of our studio, actually, by these sewers.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. That's awesome.
So let's rewind. So we've got beautiful leather goods, lasered, hand-sewn, go back, you, back, college, back. When was the first time that you two as partners, or like, what was the first project or the first time that you guys actually like worked on something years and years ago? Like, what was that?
Man, we probably worked together on a studio project that I have long forgotten back in the day.
It was so meaningful.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see.
Just some class prompt to make a something and.
Oh, okay, yeah. I think I remember. We did a quick little sprint, a little warm up for a studio class, learning simple machines. So like there's levers and pulleys and inclined planes and just these sort of simple machines in the world that help you accomplish things that you can kind of engineer or build that are sort of basic foundational for engineers and, mm-hmm. and builders and makers. And we both kind of came up, everyone had to make up their own simple machine, just go into the studio, go into the wood shop and pull together some scraps of anything, could be metal, could be wood, whatever, and just without caring too much about the way the end product, you know, turned out and the way it looked, had to functionally, you know, illustrate the dynamics of one of these simple machines. So Jake made by far the coolest one in the studio with the simplest means. He took like a metal collar, like a cylinder that was empty, like a donut, and just cut it in two places, and it was like this roll top bottle opener that was like a wedge, was the simple machine. So anyway.
Very cool.
So you looked him in the eyes and you said,
you've
got some gifts.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we both really value simplicity and simple solutions to things. They don't need to be overcomplicated, and we try to, you know, make that come through in the 10 different wallet styles we've come up with.
I know I've seen the early versions of these. You guys have a little corner of them, but like, how far has this come? How many years has this been in the making? How many iterations? Like, kind of explain people the product process, I suppose. And like, is it ever done?
No, it's not ever done. This took, I don't know, we're looking at a half wallet right now, which is our best seller, kind of like a classic card holder wallet. Mm-hmm. This, let's see, I think we've probably made this 25 different ways. 2015 was the first one we made, summer 2015, and we took it to the 525 show back when Jake was still working at Nike in apparel innovation. We would go to these 525 shows that they put on, mm-hmm. where employees can bring their passion projects and sell them to other employees and then anyone that wants to come.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, man, our pictures of our line back then are just awesome to see because we've come so far mm-hmm. in such little time. And when you look at what's actually different between what they used to look like and what they look like now, I mean, you know, it's millimeters here and there. It's, you know, just really small changes, but we've made a bunch of them and it's amazing how much of a difference that makes.
It's so funny because when I look at a wallet now, I think of your guys' wallets. But in my head before, it was always like that dad wallet mm-hmm. where you had to hang on to every receipt you got.
Yes.
And it was a trifold mm-hmm. one with maybe black. Your kids' pictures in it uh-huh. too. It was the classic like George Costanza wallet from Seinfeld where you're sitting halfway on top of it and it's giving you back problems. But now it's like literally the future is minimal. Everything like less is more. And it's like these wallets now, I could never go back to carrying anything else. Mm-hmm. Like I literally carry it in my front pocket. I never used to carry a wallet in my front pocket.
Talk about what's obviously important to you guys, but kind of the intersection between technology and like hard goods, I guess.
Yeah. So this kind of concept really gets us fired up and feels like it kind of epitomizes what our brand is today and what we hope to, you know, have it be in the future too, which is this and a rare blend of technology and handmade. Most people that hand make things aren't so into using technology, and most tech companies aren't really interested in handmade stuff. And we use technology in a couple ways. We the laser cutter is a digital tool. We draw these wallets out digitally before we cut them. So there's digital aspects of the product creation that leads to this really like clean, precise, perfect every time design that comes out at the end. But also we are using some of our shared user experience, user interface design background. That was my kind of freelance work that I was doing before Wooly, to create a really cool digital experience that allows people to customize their own wallet in ways that companies, at least in the wallet industry, haven't done before. So think like a Nike ID, but for your own handmade wallet, where you get to choose leather colors, thread colors, the pattern. You can inscribe something personal on the back and ultimately create one of like one. We do it with a really awesome built from scratch interface that we Kickstarter funded. So there's now this digital component of our process where the user actually has, it's the user's hand in the design. So we're finding that that's been really cool, and that people in our target market, say 25 to 35 or 40 year old people, are really responding too well. They get excited about that.
Yeah, talk about that more. Like, what, since you've launched it, feedback's obviously been good, but like, what are people kind of explaining as their favorite part of that whole ability to do that?
Yeah, I think it's something that we kind of had an instinct about, but has definitely been reinforced by the feedback we've gotten from people. It allows people to add meaning to this kind of everyday object that you otherwise don't think twice about. Most people don't, you know, walk around showing off the wallet that they're carrying like they would their shoes. It's not really thought to be like a fashion statement or just a piece that means something to you that you really, you know, want to care about and take care of and know about. And I think we're helping people add meaning to this everyday object.
It's kind of like the, I've heard this IKEA effect, where when you build it yourself, you kind of feel like it has more meaning to it.
And so ownership.
People who shop at IKEA are like, oh, that's such cheaply like put together stuff, but you're like, well, I worked 10 hours on it. Like, I worked so hard on it. And when I went on to like your guys' website to build my own wallet, it's just so seamless. It was literally better than the Nike ID. Like, it was just like, I clicked, I dragged it over, it made sense. Like, I was like, oh, wow. And I flip it over and I do the same thing, and I can add perforations, I can add text. It's like, you can do so much with it, and it's so seamless for you guys literally being a two-person. Well, now you guys got a few more sewers in, but like such a small team to be able to have such a crazy innovation for a modern, like, or for a trade that's been going on for so long. It's like, you guys are intertwining technology so well with it. But like, I would say that is the future. It's like mass customization. Everybody's going towards it, and no one can do it. And so like, this is like a huge jump forward to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So some of our competitors might charge you $20 to add three, you know, hammer on letters as a, you know, inscription, your initials say on the back of your wallet. We think that's crazy. It's not necessary. Like, especially for our process, you know, we don't need to charge any more than $10 to give you, you know, premium, to give you, you know, full control of this thing and the way it looks in the end.
Yeah. What do you think of, you know, Portland is known as a maker city and town, and we hear that a lot too, but like, do you attribute that to successes so far, or do you think your product is like more universal, all serving, and that it's from Portland is just kind of cool? Do you think people, like when you're out at trade shows or setting up wholesale, like, is the Portland brand necessary, or do you think your stuff just kind of speaks outside of, it's like we're too tied to Portland. Like, are you able to be in and of itself like your own entity?
I think so, but I think the Portland kind of origin story and connection definitely helps. It's like a pre-qualifier. People walk up, they see, you know, we put PDXOR USA in, it's part of our logo actually. So it's, we're tied to it in that way. And when people walk up to our booth and say, oh, Portland, yeah, my, you know, I was there and I love that place. Or I know that amazing things come from there.
Name. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard of that
so
city.
We hear that when we go to shows outside of the state and outside of this country, as you know, mm-hmm. you know, definitely Portland is a known city. And I think especially with the sort of the craft culture, the maker culture, the appreciation for things that people buy and consume and you know, the progressive kind of nature of Portland in general, kind of all fits really well with what we're making and what we're putting out there.
So when you guys have a booth, are you guys setting up, like, you have your wallet displays, all your different, like, core products, but then do you also have, like, the online customizer going so people can actually see how it ties in together?
We do, yeah. So nice. We just started doing this where we have an iPad set up and you can interact with Woolly Lab is what we call it, the online wallet customizer right there at the show. People often, you know, will play around with it, get excited about it, and really understand it there in person, which is big. But then they'll go home and do it within the, you know, comfort of their own home where they can take an hour to make this thing if they want before they actually place their order. But the other thing that's been good for at shows is people like to buy it as gifts for other people.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You can, we make it easy for you to gift the experience mm-hmm. of designing a wallet for yourself. So many people, countless people come up to us and say, I want to buy a wallet for a friend or a boyfriend or somebody, a son, but I don't know exactly what he wants. And we say, oh, funny you should ask. We have the perfect tool and you can gift this experience by buying a gift card that has it prepaid.
That is a perfect gift.
Yeah, it's good.
Honestly,
yeah.
Like, I think about, I'm like, oh, what does my dad want? He wants a wallet every
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
So like, here you go. This
yeah.
is it. That's awesome.
It's novel and it's a fun experience for people. I mean, it's not, you know.
But if you give them, because sometimes gift cards are so boring. It's like a gift card with just like a little leather something. Tiny key, like not like a full keychain, but just something so it like looks like it's at least like a tease as to what they're about to get, you know?
Yeah.
And it like hangs off the gift card
was,
or that is the gift
card holder was a like a cardboard half wallet almost. So yeah. Like.
Like
somehow
how Nike has their mini box.
Into, yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, we're turning into a brainstorming session
yeah, this
podcast
good,
now.
Yeah. Any ideas?
Yeah. So what I've known you guys for a long time, obviously, and you know, from the basement days, but what's kind of two spectrums? What's like the big, crazy, ridiculous 5-year goal, and what's kind of like the I'd be pretty stoked if we got here in 5-year goal?
Okay. Big, crazy, ridiculous. We have Woolly set up in different cities around country or world, like a Woolly San Francisco, a Woolly Tokyo, where we're repeating this business model of having local production in, you know, different sort of cities that are in line with mm-hmm. what Woolly is as a brand.
With like focus still on the same product?
I think so. Okay. I mean, we're talking crazy, so it's hard to totally yeah. think about all the details, but
just wondering.
But maybe it makes more sense to use a different material than leather for wallets that we make in some place where it's harder to get, mm-hmm. you know, high quality vegetable tanned leather like we use here in the States. So we're not stuck on leather because we love, you know, cows or the industry or hate cows. Or I don't know how that works, but we love it because it performs well and because we can get really high quality leather mm-hmm. produced here locally. So anyway, maybe big picture is that we have a little hub set up in other places and
with stores attached to them.
With stores, yeah. So that gets to the nearer vision that we hope to achieve sooner than later is to have our own retail store where the shop's kind of integrated and built in, where people can come in and see with full transparency these things being made. People get so fired up to see the, you know, making that goes into these. They love that part of the story. It's kind of central to what our brand is and part of what makes what we're doing interesting. So bringing people into that process of actually making, not just designing, would be super fun for us. And we hope to pull that off someday soon.
Very cool. I think a cool idea. I was just staring at the wallet thinking, if I received the wallet with a little card inside of whoever sewed it together or whoever was the person making it and it was like their bio.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be kind of cool.
I like that a lot. Yeah, yeah.
We do that. We have a card. Yeah. We have a card that's printed with all our faces and it's like packed by and we just like draw a smiley face. But then we got so busy during holiday that we just had stacks and didn't even matter whose name was getting put into it. But then when someone would email with like a return order and it was messed up and it would have like Mac's signature.
Yeah, yeah.
Packed by Mac.
And it's just, and it was like the four wrong items. So we're like, maybe for that season, it's not a good look.
So if you're listening to this and you received your order wrong at Portland Gear between the time of December 1st through the 12th,
it wasn't Mac.
It was probably Eli.
Yeah. Okay, so retail store, transparency, see the making process, make stuff. Like, is Wooly a 10,000 person company, or do you think there's beauty in it being a 6 person, a 10 person, you know? Like, what do you think? Or it doesn't matter to you? You just want to make as many products to serve as many people?
No, definitely beauty in, you know, being small. And we have a... you know, big shoes to fill. The mammoth is the logo in our brand, but we keep them pretty small when we hide them in different places in the wallet. Jake and I both really, and we connected on this in design school too, and it's sort of carried through, feel really similarly about, you know, doing the most with the least, kind of maximizing within your own means. And it's the same reason, you know, we're not outsourcing the production of these, even though that would have been easier. That would have been an easier way to start. We just draw these up and then have someone stitch them up for us. But we wanted to keep as much as we could within reason, kind of within our control, because it, you know, ultimately gives us what we want out of the product and gives us more freedom in, you know, the creation and iteration of it. So I think that would probably be true if things picked up for us. If we really grew, we would want to put a cap on that. We definitely don't want to be this giant company managing tons and tons of people, cranking out, you know, ridiculous numbers of products into the world. I think small is beautiful. Small is nice.
We have a question here on Twitter, and someone asked, what is a product that you guys have sampled or came up with that never made it to sale that you've always just liked? Because I know you guys are both, him a little more than you, but just like could sit there and just design stuff all day.
Okay, so there's a couple of those. We got a camera strap for your sweet DSLR that's sitting on the shelves. We've got...
that you went in debt for and never used.
Definitely not that. Scrap leather.
No, you went in debt for the DSLR because you wanted to be a famous photographer.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And then you never actually learned how to use it.
Well, the strap is going to be the justification for why.
Sitting on my shelf.
We've got some scrapped up, you know, poorly thrown together, but the concept is strong of some other products that we'd love to take the company into the direction of, bags and dop kits and things like that.
Oh, that's cool.
Sort of feels like a logical progression from wallets, other things you carry, carry goods. Dog collars is another one. We both love dogs.
And you have a dog.
I have a dog.
Whose name is?
His name is Wash. It's short for Washington. And he's a real winner.
So products in the work, okay. But obviously your most popular product at this time is the half wallet. That's kind of where the brand is, you know, the customizers with the half wallet. And you guys have kind of dialed down to that because everyone likes it. It's simple. It's easy to use. And you're kind of teaching the customer like, hey, this is all you need.
Yeah. It's our best seller. And I think, you know, not because we're pushing it harder than others, but because people choose it over the others. And it's the one we have available to make custom through our through Wooly Lab right now. But we plan to at our other best sellers in 2019. So the Landscape, which is a classic bifold wallet, which still has definitely a place in the world. A stick-on card holder that goes onto the back of your phone or phone case. That's going to be custom next year as well. And our popular clip keychain will be an easy one to throw in the customizer too.
Where can people find you and these things?
You can find us at woollymade.com, and Wooly is spelled W-O-O-L-L-Y, woollymade.com, or at woollymade on Instagram is a great way to keep tabs on us. We actually just, as of yesterday, put a new little box in our checkout flow that lets you drop in your Instagram handle And if you do that, we'll tag you in a story we post that is of your product you ordered being made. Mm-hmm.
That's
so
super cool.
Talk about transparency and doing things a little differently. Mm-hmm. That's a really easy one. So
we put that
up yesterday, and we had two orders come in, and they both wanted it. So
of course, awesome. People want to be recognized. That's awesome.
Yeah. So pretty cool.
Wollymade.com.
Good idea. Wow. I like that.
So we're a small business. Like, we're huge on that. The city's huge on that. What are a couple things maybe that you've just kind of learned over the last 6 months, year in doing this that you could impart some wisdom onto our listeners with, or that you're currently learning?
Yeah. I think, you know, you just have to be really patient and persistent at the same time, which is really hard. There's things that, you know, we were 100% about the second we start doing this, you know, then the sales will really start pouring in. And things just, man, take time. People don't, you know, necessarily, you know, latch on to what you're, you know, so sure of in the moment that you're sure of it. But give it a few months and then you start to see it, or, you know, you get a lot of irons in the fire doing different things, and things pop that you, you know, didn't expect would, or things that you really thought would never pan out. And, you know, kind of take some thick skin to endure that. And a little padding in the bank account, hopefully. We still don't pay ourselves, but someday that'll be cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think really sticking with it. And of course that takes being passionate about what you're doing, in order to endure.
Have you had any of the like moments when you're out, or maybe someone you didn't know put a wallet down on the table and you see that it's yours, or anything like that, or yet?
Yeah. There have been little bits of that here and there, and sometimes it's people saying, "Oh, I think I saw your product somewhere," and you're like, "Yeah, maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but that's cool." but the one recent example that is amazing is I have another job, and that job took me out to Qatar, and in the Middle East, and.
The place. Okay.
Sometimes referred to as Qatar.
Oh, yeah.
I think the real pronunciation is somewhere in between those two. Yeah. It's like Qatar. I was out there for my other job, and the person that was organizing the whole thing that brought us out there started talking about Wooly to me, and I was like, thrown off. At first I kind of was with him because, you know, I'm used to talking Wooly all day every day, but then I was like, wait a second, how would he know about Wooly? This is my other job, you know, we're not connected on LinkedIn, he wouldn't know that I have that. And what happened was his friend, who was a flight attendant, bought one of our products on his recent trip to San Francisco, brought it back, was showing it to this guy, and he loved it so much, not knowing the connection to me, we hadn't been introduced in business yet, went on to our Kickstarter and backed our Wooly Lab project.
Hmm.
And he had a custom Wooly wallet
in his pocket.
In Qatar.
That's
cool.
Crazy.
That's really cool.
And
Did he lose it when he...
Yeah, we put the pieces together when we both, we were like putting tables together for this thing we were about to do, and we had our wallets out and we both had Woolies. And I was like, are you kidding me?
So, we pulled our wallets out and they were both Woolies.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a cool story. I think, you know, we're in a product space like you, and I think you forget often that it's humans that are buying these things. Like,
yeah.
Every day when an order comes in or a follower or something, it's like you kind of just view them as numbers after some point, which sucks. You know, it's like, but it becomes like a number or a report or a sale or something. But then you forget, like, how many people are wearing P hats, or how many people have these wallets in their pockets, and who they're showing, or who every day is asking them about them. You know, you just forget that sometimes because you're so much in the weeds of making and thinking, and we're shipping and in an office, and, you know, we're in one space all day, but we forget that people all over the world or flight attendants are taking P hats and taking wallets and finding them places. And it's like, that's why I think brand and stuff is so important, and telling that story is that, and making it simple so that people that find these brands can recite the same story correctly. And then that's how word gets out. You know, it's like you want them knowing the brand and the story, so when they share it, that person knows it and they get the right story. It's like, that's the best form of marketing and anything, is just the authentic word of mouth, a friend referring and sharing it with their friend. Like, that's how most of us make any purchase we make, is because, I mean, you're only influenced by the few people that you spend 90% of your time with. And so that's a very cool story.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of the put your Instagram handle on and you can watch it live. Like, I would tell everyone.
That's like the Domino's. And you love Domino's. It's like how the Domino's tracker.
I don't.
Your
even,
pizza's
I
in the
don't
oven.
I've ever used that. Maybe one time.
You go on and you place your order and it has like the tracker and it's like, Tommy has started your pizza, and then it shows the oven. It's in the oven. It's out for delivery. You've never seen that?
I guess I've seen it, yeah. Once or twice.
We did get huge props from someone on email about their experience with Woolly Lab, and then he said the one thing it's missing, and I think he was totally serious, was the whole Domino's tracker mm-hmm. thing. And
like the process of it.
Oh, so it's
yeah.
Coming.
So
maybe.
No.
You have to have like coming. You'd have to have like a very crazy barcode
really
system
yeah,
that like
yeah.
you'd scan it in when it leaves and then it gets scanned in automatically. You're
enough.
Smart. You can do that.
Yeah. Well,
Jake is out for lunch right now.
Your wallet is not getting
new.
Your wallet is not being worked on.
Happening. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on. Woollymade.com. Pick up a wallet. If not, where can they find you sometime in early 2019? Anywhere in town or events or anything?
Well, we're in our retail locations. Go check us out in person if you're, you know, wanting a little bit more than just what you see online. So Made Here PDX, Boys Fort downtown, Tender Loving Empire, Bridgeport, as well as their new West End store, Red Sail on Alberta, Communion in Southeast, Mantle in North Portland. So plenty of places to see us in person, or at least our products.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to see us, we always welcome that. Just hit us up on Instagram at WoollyMade. Send us a direct message and we'll get you the address and you can come check out how we do what we do. We'd love to meet you.
Woo.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.